Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Celebrate Our God-Given Freedom and Faith While Honoring Our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Happy Father's Day.
That's right. This Sunday is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to you.
It's also the feast of the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, but Father's Day, right? What's your father's name?
Alan. And Richard.
Ricardo.
For you.
Ricardo Senior. We don't use senior. The senior or junior in Spain, but yeah, my father is turning 83 this year.
And you were back in the spring, back home.
Yeah.
How often do you get home? About once a year?
I try to go twice a year at least.
Twice a year.
Especially now because they are a little, of course, they are older than before. But it's getting to an age where I like to spend some time.
Yeah. So happy Father's Day to all those fathers out there.
As you said, I was there last spring, and you know I like doing videos. Mm-hmm. I recorded my dad.
Ah, okay.
I asked him some questions, and I have a 30-minute video of my father answering my questions about life, about what's the best you've done in life, the happiest about. And it was very emotional because I asked him, what's the best thing that has happened in your life? You know what he answered? Your sisters. he said his children, the four of us. And I think it's amazing to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever life has taken up, whatever has happened at the twilight of his life, he looks at us as the biggest joy in his life. Isn't that fantastic?
What a blessing.
My mom will be jealous, though, because that's the way she is. Anyway.
I think we're procrastinating.
No, it's fine.
The reality of, with the feast is this coming Sunday,
mm-hmm.
can be a little tricky sometimes almost to use words to talk about. So it's the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. And this begins now, this period of ordinary time in the church. So mm-hmm. Easter season has ended. What does ordinary time mean?
Ordinary, trying to avoid understanding it as ordinary as in when we say that, this person said something very ordinary. Or it really means order. It means that the only, between commas, thing that we celebrate is the reality of the faith without any extra additions. But it's after today. Today we have this great theological feast. We call it a mystery, the mystery of the Trinity, which now then takes us into this time of ordinary time, color green, as even our school children know. And that's the idea that our faith takes place in the ordinary day-to-day of our lives. Ordinary more as order, more than quality, a reference to any quality.
So how about I read the gospel, which is from John's gospel. It's chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears, and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me, because he will take from what is mine and to declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you.
Interesting gospel, focusing on the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Every year we get a different text from John, and year C we are getting it from this discourse of Jesus that seems to focus or zero in the Holy Spirit. Jesus saying, "I am the Holy Spirit." Also,
and everything that the Father has is mine. So it's right here is one of many places, but one place where you see that reality of three persons of one God, of a sense of Jesus speaking about all of that, mm-hmm. you know, and that reality and that relationship. Here it's all about, and it is, it's all about relationship.
We feel uncomfortable because the church calls this a mystery, the mystery of the Holy Trinity, in the sense, not like a mystery in a terror movie or a police, or how do you call these movies?
Like detective stories.
Detective stories. Yeah. Mystery in the sense that the concept is so big. God is so overwhelmingly different than ours that we can really never get to the end, to the bottom of defining it with human words. But there are some things we can say.
I think there's one way that I've heard a mystery described, which I really like, and I believe it was by John Henry Newman, who's on his way to canonization. But a mystery, something is not unknowable, but infinitely knowable. Isn't that a great way to describe a mystery? Mm-hmm. It's the mystery of human love or the mystery of God. It's infinitely knowable. We know it through our whole lives.
We know some things. One of the things we know is that God is community from the beginning. God is persons. We call them the persons of the Trinity, which is already tells you that we don't follow an ideology. We follow a personal God. So our reaction or our relationship with this Trinitarian God has to be personal also. Do you agree? I mean, you
are agree. Oh, of course. Yeah. Of course. I agree.
You didn't write it down, so I'm that's my test.
The reality of the Trinity is not something that, you know, we just decided, like Mass is at 4 o'clock rather than 4:30. Mm-hmm. But it's the experience of the very first believers and is our experience of a personal God. And that's the way that what we now describe as a Trinity, that's what was kind of the first origins of this are an actual experience, mm-hmm. you know, an experience of God, as such as these people who are listening to Jesus speak in the gospel here in John's gospel. You look at the Old Testament and people's relationship with God the Father in a very mm-hmm. powerful way and some experience of the Spirit. But, you know, it's been confirmed until now. I mean, confirmed over all this experience of our relationship to God, to say we experience God as a Trinity and nothing different than that. Mm-hmm. And just here in the gospel, Jesus makes it all clear. Yeah, but three persons, one God, and the first kind of formal meetings of the church, those first ecumenical councils, try to put some words behind all of this.
And we all know about the passion of those meetings, maybe a passion that we need today.
Yeah, right.
All these fights, instead of fighting about the school or about the schedule of masses, these people fought and had these long discussions about the image of God, which is interesting.
Exactly. And it's fascinating to delve into the interactions there, the history and interpretations of those first councils, you know, fighting in a healthy way for the most part about God.
Not always.
Well, yeah, not always, but, you know, fighting and speaking about God. It's a reminder of the importance of doctrine. I think this feast is. So this solemnity and next week are two solemnities about not saints or people in a sense, but about beliefs and doctrine. But what's so important about our belief and our doctrine, it's how we live. There's that the classic phrase, lex orandi, lex credendi. The way we pray is the way we believe, or you could even reverse that. The way we believe is the way we pray, and the way we live by extension. Mm-hmm. So it's important for us to kind of return to these foundations, not to shy away, not to be afraid of that word mystery, but to appreciate God as a Trinitarian God who's with us in very beautiful ways. And the early church and us today, we confirm that in our doctrine.
At my parish, I decided, because I agree very much with what you said, and I would be careful with people that say, oh, Jesus tells us love one another, that's it, some social action, that's it. No, there is a foundation that I think it's important to know. Sometimes you hear even songs we sing at Mass that you listen to it and you say, that's a heresy. That's not, mm-hmm. that's really not what we believe. And I think this 3 weeks, Pentecost, the Holy Trinity, next week, the Corpus Christi celebration, it's a good opportunity to do a Catholicism 101. I mean, to maybe go back to the foundations and our theoretical foundations also. Because I very strongly believe that if you forget about this, if you really say that it doesn't matter, that it really is about love only and about action, and you forget these very strong foundations we have, things end up not going well, I think.
This is our solid foundation with other Christians as well. Mm-hmm. This is in this particular dogma, but even a feast of, in some sense, I don't know if it's always the same mm-hmm. weekend, but it's shared by a number of other Christians who are not Catholics. There's a nice ecumenical connection here as well. But the risk we have, here's why I joked in the beginning, we're procrastinating a little, is in describing a mystery, especially of the Trinity, there's two risks. First of all, we can read from one of the Councils of Constantinople or Council of Nicaea or from the Catechism a definition from the pulpit that is just too dense, quite quick to capture at that moment, but it's true. Or we can go with kind of some what have been, I'd say, some sort of sloppy analogies. You know, we've had some analogies. We're trying to compare three persons and one God, and maybe you've heard these.
You totally have me in absolute agreement. So what do we do?
I knew you were going to throw that back at me.
The dilemma is there. Yeah,
I don't want to say I don't know, but my point is we need to meet this challenge head on, especially as preachers, but as all Catholics, we can't run away from it. And this is one of those areas where I think we can shy away from evangelization, shy away from sharing our life of discipleship because we're a little afraid because of what I've just said. Well, I don't want to fall into one of those extremes, but I don't know quite how to explain the Trinity to someone who doesn't believe in God. So I'm going to remind you, this is a casual conversation. We first looked at the gospel. On the spot, I don't know what to do except that it has to be approached. I can't shy away from it.
One way to do it, I believe, is really honestly answering, what does the Trinity mean for me? Mm-hmm. The one preaching, what does it mean for me? When I say the Creed, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, very clearly, what does it mean for me? What about this idea of community, this idea of persons, this idea of mission? There is an expansive role of the three persons of the Trinity. Those are the ways that I believe I'm not making sloppy analogies. I'm not normally into sloppy analogies at all. I hate some songs that try to compare the Trinity to stuff. I mean, I cringe like many other people. But those things are true about the Trinity, and this is how I experience the Trinity. And I think that the dimensional nature of the Trinity, creation, there is a lot there. And I don't think we are committing a heresy if we really preach about how we live out the Trinity.
I agree. I think this is a good...
I left you speechless for a second.
You have.
So much wisdom that you couldn't react.
The Solemnity follows off after the Feast of Pentecost as well, which I think is a nice connection. That's an intentional connection and a little bit of a connection to next week as well, I think, in Corpus Christi. But this has been a really good discussion, and I'm glad we agree, at least, to someone else in the room who says, you know, we've got to meet this head on, avoid those extremes of complex theology that might be a little overwhelming in one sitting, to sloppy analogies and really to hit this head on.
And we could acknowledge the tension. I sometimes think that the best thing when you are in doubt in preaching, reflecting about something like this, it's good to acknowledge this is the difficulty we have today.
Right.
And that's a very clear difficulty. This is what the Catechism says, and this is what sloppy analogies would be, just to let people know that this is where we are. This is the tension we have today. This is the problem we need to solve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you're looking for Mass this weekend, archmill.org is the Archdiocese of Milwaukee's website, and masstimes.org is a national website to look for that information.
And then we will come back next Wednesday, and we will speak about another great feast, foundational feast of our faith, Corpus Christi, and see you there, Philip.
All right, see you then.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bac with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.